Welcome to the McCovey Croncast. It is Friday in November, the day after Thanksgiving. I'm Brian Murphy, at Every Sixth Day.
I'm Doug Brazzoni, at Moonwalk McFly.
And we are recording this podcast several days in advance. So by now, the Giants have signed Zach Greinke and David Price and locked up Brandon Belt for a few years and signed Justin Upton to play left field. How are you feeling about all that? There was a lot of activity over a short span of time, but I think it's going to make the Giants better in the long run.
Yeah, I feel really good about it. I was a little surprised that after they got Greinke and Price, they then went out and also got Jordan Zimmermann and Doug Pfister, who they explicitly promised to slot in the rotation to, but hey.
I'm very surprised that the Giants actually then sent that fruit basket to the Dodgers. I just thought that was grandstanding and very out of character for usually a classy organization. But there we are. So the Giants already have the NL West locked up, and there's not really much for us to talk about. So thanks for listening, everybody. Just kidding. We don't know who the Giants signed in the intervening days, but chances are they didn't sign any of those players. And maybe they won't. Maybe they won't sign anybody this offseason. Who knows? Today, though, because to keep it evergreen, we're going to talk about what the Giants could theoretically do. Grant posted back on the 19th the Giants, his idea for a fake offseason this year, and I believe in 1,210 comments, 1,209 of those comments were crapping all over the post and how completely awful Grant's theoretical offseason was. And so we thought, well, we can't do any worse than that. So we should try our own post about what the Giants should be doing, since they didn't do any of the things that we said they did at the top of the podcast. And Doug has no choice but to go along with this idea because he had no better idea.
That's right, though I will note that we can't do any worse than that is the official motto of McCovey Croncast.
That's right. we are the threshold. We are the lowest line. So one of the things, though, that we can tie into recent news is and with Grant's post. So, well, actually, let's set the rules here. After signing Brandon Crawford and knowing that the Giants don't want to go over the competitive tax threshold of $189 million, the Giants' payroll, their obligations, is approximately $144 million. It's like $144.1. So figuring that the Giants don't want to – that they have approximately $19 million in – there's like that gap. They had $170 million in payroll in 2015 and still went over the cap of 189. So we got to figure about $168 million that they would be fine. They wouldn't get close to the limit. So let's say they have about $28 million to play with remaining, or $24 million. Wait, do math, Brian. They have $144 and they need to get to $168, $24 million. To play with remaining in the offseason, and that's just AAV spread out over the length of a contract. So then now let's get into how we can fold in new news. Tim Lincecum yesterday or last night, it was announced that he was going to be putting on a showcase for scouts and organizations in January to show that he was still alive or that his surgery was a success and that he could pitch in Major League Baseball. Grant had put that as move number four of the offseason for the Giants to sign into a $2.5 million deal with, quote, hella incentives, end quote. So I would say that Lincecum trying out essentially means that he knows that he's at least, you know, he's trying to get a minor league invitation here, that's a possibility that he's not guaranteed a major league deal. That's what that seems to me, that he's aware of that.
Right. And he's not going to get it. I mean, I don't want to immediately say he's not going to get a major league deal because you know, in a world where Rich Hill gets $6 million from the A's, it's anything's possible. But
that's a good point.
Clearly not good enough right now that you would just hand him a rotation spot on any team. On the other hand, I just don't know what some front offices are thinking. It seems doubtful the Giants or a contending team would give him a rotation spot, but it's possible that, you know, the Marlins would. The Marlins love bad former stars who are cheap. That's like their thing, who then they can maybe trade. I don't know.
I also think if he was willing to position himself as a reliever or super reliever, that he would be valuable to many more teams for that possibility.
That's true, and that's what a lot of people always thought he would be.
That's right.
So we'll see.
I would say that I would not include him in my free agent bonanza. So this is the first question. We don't have to like sit here and go against Grant's thing, but I would not bring back Tim Lincecum. I wouldn't even, if you were the president of baseball operations and I was the GM, I would, so you're the boss, you're my boss. I would say, boss, I don't want to spend any resources. We're done with Tim Lincecum. The ship has sailed. Let's commit our time and energy elsewhere. I'm not interested in bringing him back at all.
But Brian, his agent said he'd be good.
So you're saying I should send a scout here, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Do you think his agents would lie to us? Would they just make their client look better without any regard to reality? I don't think so.
All right, so I'm sending a scout. So now I have one fewer scout to send elsewhere. I just don't think, as a major league deal, if I'm committing any money and I have $24 million essentially to play with, I'm not, the 40-man roster's full. I'm not bothering with finding a space for him or committing any money to him at all. The Giants need pitching, but he's one of the reasons why they need pitching. So I'm not going to go back to him to fill that gap.
Yeah, no, he should not be on the Giants 40-man roster. He should not be the guy who the Giants are counting on to help solve any problems. He's, you know, over the last 4 years, he's kind of shown that he's not that good of a pitcher. Maybe his hip surgery will mean he's suddenly good again. I tend to doubt it, just because has he really had a hip problem since 2012? Is that what we're going with? Can you pitch with that for 3.5 years? Like, that seems doubtful.
Sure. I mean, the velocity decline is very real, and who knows? So, Tim Lincecum, we bid you adieu. Let's focus on what the Giants are going to have real quick then. I think we're in agreement, right? The infield is basically set. Belt, Panic, Crawford, and Duffy, and Posey catching, right? So, and then outfield is basically Pence for sure, and Blanco either as a starter or the fourth outfielder, or playing for when Pagan's hurt for half the year. But that's basically, it's the infield plus Pence plus Blanco that's set for sure. I would imagine those are all givens on the roster.
Yeah, so they're all set in stone, basically. There is some talk about Kelby Tomlinson being like a super sub who could play the outfield, but it didn't go well for him in the instructional league because, you know, he's been playing the infield for years, and he's not an outfielder. Weird how he couldn't just pick it up in a week.
you know, you'd like to think that these Giants prospects are good, but no. So.
Yeah, God. Wait, you're just going to come up in at 320 but not play in the outfield? Crap.
So that leaves probably a couple of outfield spots. We're probably saying that the backup catcher is either Hector Sanchez or Trevor Brown, right? So Andrew Susak, unless he's traded. So we got to remember, put our GM hats on here. Who are we moving if we're making trades, and who are we signing if we're feeling? I'm trying to figure out a way to trade Angel Pagan, and I'm probably strapping Hunter Strickland onto that in some way. If somebody wants Hunter Strickland, they've got to take Angel Pagan. Not all of the money, obviously. That would be unfair. But just as a way of clearing him out, that would probably be what I would try to do. But then I don't know who I would pick up for him. So now I'll think about this for a minute while you pitch something. Who would you have to play left field for the Giants? So I'll go with that.
I mean, honestly, I think they should have picked up Aoki's option. I'd be trying to talk to him because he's a good player and he'll be cheap and you need to spend on pitching. As for other guys now who are like outfielders, it's not that, I mean, if you're not at the top of the list, it's not really that good of a list. It's, you know, because Hayward's great, obviously, and Justin Upton's very good, but you can't spend the money on them if you only have so much and have to go to pitching. You don't want to go to, what, Will Venable? It just seems iffy.
Yep. And the left field options alone are, first of all, they're mostly left-handed, and second of all, they're all sort of platoony for the most part. But then you have someone like Cespedes. And I like Cespedes, so I don't like his on-base percentage. And, I mean, he does so many other things well that maybe the Giants could live with that, but I don't really see him as a great fit. I mean, he'd be fine, but I just, in terms of an allocation of resources, don't see a tremendous upside in that sense. Upton seems like a great fit, though, just because it would lengthen the lineup in a very good way. But defensively, he's not really Cespedes' equal. And then you've got David Murphy, and you've got Aoki left-handed, Deaza, De Jesus, Alex Gordon. Gerardo Parra, right. But then you've kind of got Gerardo Parra and Gregor Blanco. You don't have the arm, but otherwise, sort of everything else. So, I guess pitching would be the focus then. So let's just get right down to that. President of Baseball Operations, the Giants, you know, have two rotation spots essentially, and Grant decided to fill those with Kenta Maeda. I'm saying his name wrong. I apologize. And trading for Matt Garza. So that was Grant's way of filling the rotation out, which would fit into the payroll space, but not into the improving the team space.
It's the good thing about Maeda, I don't know either. I'm sure people will start saying it, and then we'll delete this podcast. There's no record of getting it wrong. But the good thing about him is that a lot of the payroll hit on him would go to the posting fee. So you could, what you could do is you could spend the money, which, you know, the Giants are willing to spend the money. They just don't want to be taxed. They don't want to spend money that goes to the league. So you could spend at least some of that and it would be exempt. So it would be reported as, you know, in Grant's thing, it was reported as 7 years, $106 million, but really it would be, you know, if it's a $20 million posting fee, I'm just pulling that out of my ass, it would be, you know, 7 years, $86 million, which is $12 million a year or so. And that's not that bad. You could then go out and get another okay starter. That would be, you know, Mike Leake money or whatever.
So then there's some agreement there about going after posting for Maeda and possibly, it seems like such a big risk factor for the Giants in terms of the unknown of bringing over someone with no track record in the major leagues. It seems a little surprising that they would make a push in that way, but who knows? They might, in terms of finding value, it might be worth it. So that'd be one spot potentially. I'm not entirely convinced. I don't know. I'm not liking these John Lackey rumors I'm hearing, and I believe that was in one of our previous games. That was one of the people that you thought the Giants would actually sign, perhaps. I believe that was in Bridesmaid or Well Wisher. And he said the Giants would probably get him. And Lackey and Maeda to fill out the rotation, that still seems like a very troublesome rotation to me.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of risk in there, and I would not deny that. I would say there's going to be a lot of risk no matter what they do because, you know, pitchers. Pitchers are always iffy. Maeda has, I think, a lot of upside. Lackey doesn't. You know, Lackey's upside is what he did this year. And he's, you know, he, to me, Lackey just seems like another Matt Morris type signing where they know what they're getting for like a year or a year and a half. And I also compare him to Matt Morris because I didn't like Matt Morris, and that makes it a better comparison than Tim Hudson, who seemed like a very nice person.
That's interesting, yes.
But I would say that someone who's over the hill, he has another year or two left as a good starter, and then he's just going to crash hard, and the Giants would try to get that value out of him. That seems like something they've done for a long time.
It's possible. He made $500,000 last year, right? Because of the way his contract was structured, that if he had Tommy John surgery, he would his last year of his contract would only be $500,000. So I would imagine he'd be trying to get back some value in a deal. It just feels like, to me, a solid major league starting pitcher who's a known quantity and has that track record. That seems to me that contract is in the $12 to $14 million range, right? I mean, that's just what it seems like the market price is going to be going forward, which is not really ridiculous when you just think about how much contracts have gone up.
Yeah.
But if that's the case, you know, someone like a solid starter like him is going to essentially leave the Giants with $10 million to do anything else with. And on our, and if we're accepting Maida and that actually happens, the posting and everything, then the Giants only really have just $12 million a year. They've got, if they want to max out, we're president of baseball operations. We've already maxed out our offseason here, and we might be going over if we sign John Lackey to a $14 million deal for 1 year. So
yeah, so we're probably going to max out no matter what we do if we want to have a good team. That's
okay.
Kind of the problem.
So the Giants have now, so we've maxed out the pitching with Maida and Lackey, and let's say they're plus two over. So they need to, we need to find $2 or $3 million to work here. Possible trade candidates include Javier Lopez, Brandon Belt, Santiago Casilla, Sergio Romo, Angel Pagan.
I mean, to me, I'd say Romo is probably the best bet to get some actual value because he's,
okay.
You know, he's a righty specialist making a lot of money.
Yeah.
But it's tough to get that money out. Like, obviously, I'd love to get rid of Pagan's contract.
Right.
But that's probably not realistic. You're going to get another bad contract in return.
Yeah, let's figure out. Okay, I'm on board the Romo train here. Good Giant. But the Giants might be able to save, you know, he's making $9 million. Let's say the Giants only have to pay for $3 million of that, you know, then they clear it out. I'm not sure actually how it works for the tax implications if the three counts against them or the nine is completely removed from the team. You know what I mean? I'm not sure how that works.
Yeah, me either.
For the tax purposes. Let's assume for the tax purposes that it's just the money they don't owe. Because they're still on the hook for some of that contract, obviously. So let's just say they clear six out. So that, hooray. Giants pay $3 million, trade Romo, and I wonder who they could get back. And now guess, who do you feel like would be a good trade partner? Obviously, it can't be anyone in the NL West. You want to get him out of the NL West. You don't want him coming back to hurt you there. You might be able to get a bad starter from the Mets.
Oh, that'd be fun.
So they're on the hook, starting-wise, for John Neese. They owe John Neese $9.05 million.
Oh yeah.
And they have a buyout for 17, or they have an option for those years. So John Neese is a left-handed starting pitcher. Maybe they just trade Romo for John Neese.
Yeah, and then we don't have to do the whole Lackey thing at all.
Yeah. So is that what your president of baseball operations? Is that what your suggesting the Giants do instead?
Yeah, sure. I mean, he's a mediocre guy, but he's not going to cost any more money. Man, this is uninspiring. Being a GM and president of baseball operation is hard.
Well, we can do whatever we want in this theoretical offseason. We just posted for an unknown pitcher and traded for John Neese. That is very uninspiring. That's very, very, very extremely uninspiring. Also, looking at the Mets payroll, the arbitration people, they've got 3, 6, 8 players going into arbitration this year. And then, oh, geez, 10, 12, 13, and 17. And then they have 13 again in 18. And that's crazy. Excuse me, they have 10 in 18. This is really hard.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is why I think that they've said they're not going to go over the luxury tax, but they probably will, just because they're going to, like, realistically, to field the team they want to field, they're going to have to. For us, it's a good limitation to sort of illustrate just how hard it'll be to do this offseason.
I can't imagine it without trading players and good players, because, you know, just the way that the roster's set up. Like, Casilla, if they can trade Romo or Casilla or both, as painful and destructive as that would be to the bullpen, that seems like the easiest. Those are players that people would want and who the Giants could potentially replace because of track record. But I would still venture to guess that finding two primary relievers, your two main relievers out of the bullpen, are going to be very difficult to do. So I don't think Derek Law is going to step right in to that Sergio Romo role right away.
No, probably not.
And Ray Black is exciting, but he's probably not even close yet.
Yeah, I mean, there's the guys who are close in AAA, like Stephen Okert's pretty close. He had a bad couple months in the middle of the year, but overall he was pretty good. And, you know, there's some of the guys who we saw in September who are not enormously inspiring, but probably it could be effective relievers, like Corey Gerrans of the world.
So we just did a worse job than Grant.
Yeah, we did a worse job than Grant, which is kind of our thing.
We said couldn't be worse then, and yet we did a worse job than Grant. I mean, there you have it, folks. The Giants are screwed. There's nothing they can do to improve the team. So
guys,
if we
that's
can't
really
do it,
the
no
main
one
takeaway
can.
Here.
That's the yeah. main takeaway. So if you have in the comments below, I think it would be great if people, beyond telling us that we sucked in this, that we talk about, that you put your suggestions as well instead of just figuring that we sucked, because that was basically the comments in Grant's section, was that the offense, that none of this made any sense, it was good. But we know the Giants don't want to go over the threshold, and we know that they have about enough money to get one pretty decent starter, and that's it. They don't really have – they have a lot of needs on the pitching side, and the market's going to be so wildly priced, especially this year with so many good free agents out there. They're just going to get bid up for everybody, and other teams can fit. They have a little bit more flexibility. The Giants have so many core players, and then someone like Matt Cain, who's getting a lot of money and is not going to provide a lot of value. So I ask you all to – what better options do you have? Keeping in mind that every other major league general manager is extremely reasonable, logical, and knows where the Giants are at as well. You cannot trick them. No one is going to look at Angel Pagan and go, the Giants knew something. The Giants didn't know something that we know. It's just not the way it works anymore. The only other thing, I keep thinking about Justin Upton and thinking about, he seems like someone, the Giants as well. Like, to me, a perfect offseason is that, yes, you go over the tax, but then you also find a way to get rid of Pagan or Romo just to clear that extra money. So you have a little wiggle room to, you know, in January and February to make some late signings for some minor depth pieces with potential great upside. But someone, Greinke and Upton, seems to me like that's what I would want. And then figure out the rest from there. It doesn't fill all the Giants' holes, but it seems like it covers enough that you might be able to minimize the risk that you have for basically still having a hole in the rotation. That seems like between 3 or 4 guys, you might be able to plug in that last rotation spot. And then depth-wise, offensively, you are already banking on players coming back from injury and being productive. And then you've got to hope that either through trade or minor league free agents, that somewhere in there you can find the extra center fielder that you might need, that you're going to need when Pagan goes down.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that it is a possibility for that fifth rotation spot. They could just find someone they have sitting around. Like, you know, obviously Clayton Blackburn had a good year in the PCL last year. And they have guys like Ty Bloch and Chris Stratton who are there. And they could, you know, they could sign a Kevin Correa. Not Kevin Correa specifically, because no one wants that, but just that kind of flotsam major league guy who can float around until they figure out what they're really going to do. Willemeyer-esque kind of pitcher. I don't know if they want to do that, but if they have to save money, they would, you know, invite one of those guys and put him in a competition in camp with Blackburn and Block, maybe Petit if he's still around, and see if they can just fill the fifth spot that way. So if they really need to save money, then they could do that. Like if they're in the mix for Upton or, I don't know, Hayward or Gordon or whoever in left field, and they get a good pitcher, then that does make some sense that they would just give it a shot. And then maybe they'd hope that Tyler Beattie has a great year in the minors and they can call him up at some point. They don't not have options, but all of them carry some risk, which makes it pretty tough.
Right. And realistically, it would make sense for them to trade first, clear the money out, make sure that's a given. And that, I mean, that's what you sort of almost have to do in that situation, because, and then you put yourself at risk of just those guys that you do want and you do go after just not being there by the time you're actually finally able to clear that money out. I'm just going off of the ownership group is going to be like, we're not going over the taxes here. So just figure that out. So it just seems to me like you got to figure out a way to clear that money before you make the move. But maybe I'm too cautious of a business person. I'm not sure.
That's why you never made it in business, Brian.
That's the only reason why I never made it in business. okay, so I think we'll wrap it up because, you know, the train wreck that was that brainstorming session, I'm sure is being mirrored and has been happening every day in San Francisco in the front offices. Maybe that's why Sabian moved upstairs or moved up the ladder. He was like, I see where this is going and I don't want to have to stay up thinking about all this. You can take care of it, Bobby Evans.
You take care of it, Evans. I'll just count the rings. And Evans is like, I also have the same number of rings.
Yes, Bobby Evans has a lot more paperwork to fill out, but Brian Sabian gets to watch a lot more baseball games and quote-unquote scout, which is really just sit and eat frozen yogurt and then lean over to a scout and be like, you saw what he did there, right? That's what Brian Sabian's job is now. And then Bobby Evans is the one that has to, like, deal with the administrative assistant who's being difficult and talk to the vendors and all the annoying crap. So, do you have anything to add, Doug?
No.
Wait, I have a question for you. Why Groog and why Moonwalk McFly? Why do you have two different names? And three,
the reason I needed to have different names is that @Groog was already taken on Twitter by some French guy. So it wasn't really my choice to have a separate name. The name Moonwalk McFly is the stupidest name that someone could think was cool in my mind. which is why I like it.
Okay.
I don't really remember when I came up with Groog. I came up with it let's think of what year it was, 1997 or 1998, when I needed the username for a GeoCities site.
Whoa.
Yeah. So
what is GeoCities for our millennials?
GeoCities is one of the first free web hosting things. So you could go and, like, get a site and be like, I have a web page now, and program it in HTML. And so I did that, and I just needed a login for the thing. Like, it didn't appear anywhere on the site, and I just kind of stuck with it because I figured nobody else would have it. And then some French guy has it. That jerk.
Sacrebleu.
Sacrebleu.
My first name that I can remember putting into a website was my AOL Instant Messenger name, and it was Murph Doggy Dog.
Murph Doggy Dog. Nice.
And the dog was D-A-W-G.
Oh, that is, yeah, that is good.
That is hella AOL Instant Messenger. We did not do a better job than Grant. We signed Todd Wellmeyer and Mark Gardner to the rotation, and we still spent all $24 million of the money. So.
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry, Giants fans. Don't make us GM.
That's right. Definitely don't. And don't confuse me with Cambiar's Brian Murphy, because one, he spells his name differently, and two, he's a lot smarter and better at this than I am. So there you go. Any parting last words, Doug?
No.
Wait, what about Grugwalk McFly?
Well, that'd just be weird.
Just combine it. Yeah, it's very weird. All right. So thanks for listening. I'm Brian Murphy at Every Six Day.
I'm Doug Rizzoni at Moonwalk McFly.
All right, and we will see you next week.
All right, maybe. Bye.
Bye. All right, see you, Doug. That was terrible.
That was awful.